Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you here this morning. A couple announcements as we begin. If you have your bulletin there, just notice on the back the announcement, first of all, that we have the directories. The directories are here, and maybe you've seen them when you came in. They're in the narthex there on the table in a box. You can just grab one. There's no cost or anything like that. That's the church provides that for each of you, and we're just glad to have that. Just a special appreciation to Alan Landis. Alan put in a lot of work, and it shows, doesn't it? Didn't he do a good job? I wish he was here for us to give him a thank you. I don't see him, but we surely appreciate all that he did to make the directory as beautiful and as nice as it is. And I hope that you get a copy. Maybe if you have a family member or someone that isn't here, you can take a copy to them too, I'm sure. And just enjoy that. It's really nice. Also, I want you to make sure to get on your calendars for VBS. It will be Vacation Bible School this year for... We kind of work together with the Sangersville Church and the area churches. It's held at Sangersville Church of the Brethren, but it's going to be the week of June 19th. And so I'll have more information about that as I get it. But I wanted you to at least know the date on that, and so that you could get that on your calendar. Next Sunday, we're looking forward to having a special Sunday Mother's Day, and of course, Susie Johnson's going to be sharing with us in music. So invite your friends and your family and come and listen to Susie. No pressure, Susie. She said thanks. Yeah, Susie, it's a natural gift to you. There is no pressure. You'll do wonderful, and we look forward to hearing you. So, share with friends and family and be a part of that service here of Mother's Day Sunday. Also, ladies, don't forget that this coming Saturday is the program here for, they're talking about Come Have a Treat, but it's a event there for all the ladies in the church, or I think you can invite family and friends too, but the ladies to come. And there is a sign-up sheet. I'm pretty sure this is it right for a sign-up. But there looks like there's a good list of people coming, and I know they've in the past had a really good time in doing that. So I hope that you take advantage of that time of fellowship and come and be a part of that if you're a lady here. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything else? Let's just bow our heads forward to prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, again, we just thank you for the sun shining and just the beautiful weekend that we've had. Lord, we just praise you in all your beauty. Lord, we see your beauty in all creation. We see your beauty in the flower and the tree. And Lord, just the beauty around us reminds us that you are a glorious God. And Lord, that we serve a great creator God. Lord, just bless us, I pray, at this time of worship. I pray our hearts are united as one here together. And Lord, we just sing and our praises to you. We worship you. We give our praise to you. And we give our thanks to your Son, Jesus, Lord. We praise his name. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things together. Amen. Let us stand this morning for our call to worship. This is in the inside of your bulletins, coming from portions of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Let's turn our hymnals to page 306, Jesus Saves. Page 306. Seated. Boy, isn't that a powerful anthem? Wow. Wish we could just sing so loud the whole world could hear that. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Certainly the message and the song that they need to hear, isn't it? That Jesus saves. It's our message. We have to take that song to the world, don't we? And continue to sing that message that Jesus saves. We are thankful that Gerald is here to help us with that this morning. We welcome him. And Gerald, we thank you for being here to get us alive with that music. That's good. Yeah. Okay, I want to just share a few prayer requests and praises. One praise that I have that, Alan, you missed it earlier, and I'm going to share again. Alan, a praise that we have is for the directory that you put together and the work that you did. Alan, we appreciate that. And it looks really nice. And so why don't we just give Alan a big thank you. I was going to share that applaud earlier, but you weren't here to hear it. So I thought, well, now that you are here, we're going to share it with you. And Alan, we're glad that that you did that. We're thankful for all the work. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it, Alan? He probably doesn't tell us the truth of how many hours he has in that, but it's a lot. And we really appreciate that, Alan. By way of prayer request, we continue to pray for Lee. Thank goodness she's here today, and we praise the Lord for that. What a blessing to have her here, and she's doing a little bit better. So we just praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for you, Sister Lee, though, and that the Lord continues to keep healing you. Also, someone else back, if you've seen in the, I don't know where he's at, right there he is, in the back there, Billy Ware is back. And so we just praise the Lord, Billy, that you're back, and he's walking good, it seems to be. It's a little slow yet, but you're still healing, and we just praise the Lord for that. Billy?
Yes, I have a joy that I am here, and I praise that the God guided the surgeon's hand.
Yeah.
He did.
Amen.
Fix it. And now I just have some patience to wait on the thank you, everybody, for the cars, the food, and everything that's been given to us, and everything. And I really enjoyed the little harvest. They all done a really good job.
Yes. Last week, the children made get well cards. And I got to deliver some to Billy and some to Charlotte Grimm, Nancy Bailey as well. And so I was hoping that would be a pick-me-up, Billy, when you've seen all those. And they did a really good job. We got some really good artists here, and scripture and all sorts of wonderful things to just remind you that God is good.
And they got all the tractors painted the right color.
There was no red ones in there or white ones. They were all green. Yeah, John Deere. Yeah. Well, Billy, we're just so delighted and thankful that the surgeon was able to help you and fix you. And we'll just be praying for your patience, not to overdo it. He shared with me earlier, I shouldn't share this, he said, I was splitting wood this weekend. I said, what? Splitting wood? But he said he was sitting down while he was doing it. So that's a good thing, just running the splitter. So, yeah, running the handle. So, Billy, we just thank the Lord for that success, and we continue to pray for your recovery. So, also, we shared last week that Ken's sister was going to have surgery. She was able to have that surgery. So, Kenny, we'll be praying for your sister and Kathy for her recovery now. She was having surgery on her neck and spine, and so very serious surgery. If you would just continue to keep her in your prayers, and that the healing process would now begin and get her well. So, are there other praises or prayer requests that you'd like to share, Debbie?
I have a praise and a prayer request.
Okay.
The first one would like you to continue to keep Ms. Gibbons.
Yes.
In your prayer. And so please keep her in your prayers. She's still having a lot of things.
Yep. From that accident.
Yes.
Yep.
Concussion. And a praise I had is I was subbing in fifth grade, and I thought this would be a good thing for you all to hear. I had told the kids they needed to read. They were supposed to read their book. And I had two children pull out Bibles that the WRE teacher had given them because the kids were getting ready to finish. And but one of them was a little boy, and he said, well, I'm reading my Bible. And he come up there, and he said, this is my favorite verse. And he showed me a verse, and he said, and what's yours?
And he
said, well, I'm going to read my Bible.
Isn't
and
that
so
something?
I had two children that had their Bibles with them that day on Friday. And I think they said it was 2 days before that they had given them to them.
Yep.
And they were still carrying it in their backpack.
That's great. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Megan?
And on to that, we went to the WRE concert.
Yes.
It was Churchville and North River.
Mm-hmm.
And that Buffalo Gap auditorium was packed.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
It was pretty crowded, and so that's a big praise. Praise the Lord that these children
yep.
and their parents
bring them. Yep, absolutely. We are thankful. Praise God for our WRE program in Augusta County. I know some counties they don't have it. That somebody's complained or something, and they're not able to do that. Latest I heard was Shenandoah County just got it back just recently.
It's
Stanton as well. So praise the Lord for that. People are bringing back these programs. I know I was blessed when I was in school at North River and went through WRE. And I was blessed by it. So just praise the Lord that other children are being able to experience that and the excitement about the Bible. What a blessing. You know, we do a lot of different things with the ministerial group to raise money for the WRE. Our Lenten services, we collect money for WRE. At other times, other services, Thanksgiving service. You know, there are opportunities to give to WRE. And so I pray that you do continue to support that in your prayers and your giving. So.
Down there that does not go to WRE.
Yeah.
There's very few. Most of them do that.
We need to be in prayer for our school. We're thankful that there's some exciting changes coming. Joe Agoric's sister, hold on, I think of her name.
Sarah.
Sarah Davis is going to be coming in there starting this next year. And so, boy, that's exciting. We're praying for her and for just a good experience and things to continue going good there. So praise the Lord for that. Yep. Okay, other prayer requests or praises you'd like to share? Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious, most heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, always being so good to us. Lord, you're good to us even when we're not deserving of it. Lord, that just is a testament, a tribute to your goodness that is within you. And Lord, we just thank you that we can always turn to you in our time of need, in our time of trouble, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what we may be dealing with, Lord, in our time of need, Lord, we can turn to you, and that you are there, that we can find help in our time of need. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you that you hear our prayers, that you answer our prayers, that you walk by our side through the valleys. And Lord, we just pray for those upon our prayer list this morning. Lord, those names that are lifted up. Lord, other names that are within our heart and our mind. Lord, those names of people within our families, Lord, within our workplace, our community. Lord, we know situations of true hardship. Lord, where people are suffering from cancer and other sicknesses. Lord, those that are just struggling to get through life. Lord, in this moment, we just lift those persons up to you right now. Those names that are within our mind, Lord, I know that you see them and you hear them. And Lord, we just offer them to you, Lord, that your will might be done, that your goodness might be experienced. Lord, that answered prayers would happen. And Lord, that you would continue to bless those that seek you. Lord, we just lift those persons up to you right now and place them before you. And we pray your will be done, not our will. Lord, we don't seek our own glory. Lord, we seek your will and your purpose. And we seek only to glorify you, to honor you, to praise you. Lord, you're the only one that's truly worthy of glory. And Lord, we glorify your name here this morning. Lord, bless our offering as we bring it forth. Lord, thank you for our desire and our willingness to continue to tithe and give. Lord, as we seek to obey you, to honor you through our giving. And Lord, we just pray a blessing upon the offering. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon those who offer. Lord, we look to you now to open our ears and our eyes and our heart to receive your word. Lord, as we continue to look to your scriptures and seek your way, Lord, help us. That's what we need, your help. We need your guidance and we need your strength. We need your Holy Spirit to instruct us and to help us to live this life, this Christian life. Lord, we pray for our world. We look around us and we see, Lord, that our world is being destroyed by sin and selfishness, self-centeredness. Lord, we pray for our world. Lord, we pray for revival. Lord, we pray your Spirit would awaken the hearts of people, the minds of people, that they might see, even as you have revealed to us, our need for your Son, Jesus. And Lord, that all people might call out his name and receive the gifts and blessings and salvation that he offers. Lord, we pray that now. Lord, we know that that is the fix. That is the cure to our world's problems. And Lord, we seek that revival earnestly together right now. Lord, we praise you. We praise your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. Thanks again to all those that are helping with that. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 through 21. This is the final message in our series, The Basics of Christianity. I really hope that over the past 3 weeks you've gotten a lot out of this series. I've tried to kind of frame it as the basics, kind of those foundational beliefs, those foundational practices of our Christian faith. Those basics, you know, when we get saved, maybe the first question is, what does God want from me? What is God seeking now? That I'm saved, that I'm a disciple, that I'm a follower of Jesus. And what are those basics, concepts that God desires from me? And so we kind of framed it around first was believing, right? God wants you to believe. Salvation starts at believing. You have faith in God. To believe is to put your faith, put your assurance, put your trust in him. That's how salvation begins. It's our assurance of what God has done for us and even what he is still doing. Amen? God continues to work. The work of salvation is finished on the cross, isn't it? But the work of God is not finished. He continues to work, doesn't he? He continues to work in your life, in my life, and we continue to trust in God and put our faith in what God is doing. You know, without believing, really, there's nothing else that God can bless. It's through our believing that God blesses us. And without believing, God is unable to bless us. And so so we believe. We put our faith in Him. It's one of the most basic tenets of our Christian faith. The second was to belong, wasn't it? And you're part of the body. We're part of this amazing, phenomenal, extraordinary organization that is the body of Christ. There's no organization that can compare to the church, can it? Not even close. That's kind of like saying that there's other books that compare to the Bible. There's no other books like the Bible. There's no other book that can be compared to the Bible. None. None has within it the account or the claim that it is the Word of God. This is God's breathed voice. When you read Scripture, you're hearing the Word of God, the breath of God. And so there's no other book that's like the Bible. There's no other organization like the church. None can be compared to the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are the building of Christ. It's kind of how the Bible frames it. Third, we are to become, aren't we? Last week we talked about that, becoming. You're supposed to be becoming or being made into the image of Christ. And I pray you're working at that each and every day, that you're seeking to be more and more like Jesus. Are you? That's the question. Are you seeking that in your life? Or are you just seeking to live your life for your pleasures or yourself? Live your life after your old carnal ways. Remember, we describe the maturity of a Christian based on how much carnality is still in your life. And remember those stages or those different definitions of Christians. There was the immature, kind of the new believer. And then there was the more mature. And then, of course, there was the most mature. And, of course, we want to be mature in our Christian faith, don't we? We don't want to have that carnality in our life. We want to become like Christ. And while God calls us, He chastens us. He corrects us. He scourges us. He wants us to be corrected when we are wrong and to grow in the right way, just like a parent would chasten their children from right and wrong. So does God chasten us. And it's for our own good because He wants us to be made in His Son's image. Now, this week is the last one, as we'll end this series, which, as you've seen there in your bulletin, is to build. What does God want from me? He wants us to build. He wants us to be building, to be working, to be constructing the kingdom of God. He wants us to be working on the building, to be building up the faith for God. There's an old bluegrass song that we used to sing. It was titled, Working on a Building. I'm working on a building is what it is the title of the song. It kind of goes like it says, I'm working on a building, I'm working on a building, I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's the Holy Ghost building is what it says. It's the Holy Ghost building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. Now, as we look to our scripture here, we'll see that God is calling us to be building up the kingdom of God. And so let us look at our scripture here, verse 20, Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus says, now, when he was asked, or it says, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Now, here come these Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they're wanting to know about the kingdom of God. And Jesus was preaching on the kingdom of God. Jesus spoke and preached often about the kingdom of God. But what is the kingdom of God? You ever ask that question? What is the kingdom of God? Could you give a definition, a working definition of what the kingdom of God is? It's kind of a various set of ideas that surround the kingdom of God. For them, the Pharisees, they really felt like it was the physical, something that you could see. Notice here, he's talking to these Pharisees, and he says it doesn't come with observation. That is, it's not something that you can necessarily see. It's not a physical building which they were looking for. Nor will they say, notice he says, come and see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So there was this real idea, and it's still embedded within the Orthodox Jew today, that the kingdom of God is a physical kingdom. It's a rulership. It's earthly. It's an earthly kingdom. And Jesus came to establish God's kingdom, but he came to establish it first within man's heart. There's kind of three kingdoms in the Bible. Revelation, you can find it. The Bible speaks of the kingdom that was, the kingdom that is, and the kingdom that is to come. That's how Revelation defines it. God's the king. He is the Lord of the kingdom that was, that is, and that is to come. And the kingdom that was, now that takes you back to the Old Testament, back to the garden, right? That's the kingdom that was. That first kingdom where God ruled there in the garden. He walked in the garden. He had authority in the garden. But then that kingdom kind of closed, didn't it, when Adam and Eve sinned. And so then we moved into now what is the kingdom that is. And the kingdom that is the kingdom that resides within our heart. That's where the kingdom is now. The kingdom resides within the hearts and minds, souls of the believers today. Now, the Orthodox Jew, even today, they just do not accept that. Remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem on that last week, what were they looking for? Even Judas was looking for Jesus to take the throne there in Jerusalem and even rule then the whole world from Jerusalem. And that's not what happened. And as soon as that didn't happen, what happened? The people's opinions started to change. They came in, they were singing praises, Hosanna to Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna, here he comes, the King. He's coming to set up his physical kingdom of God right here on earth. But their definition of the kingdom was wrong. They understood it wrong. The kingdom that Christ had come to establish was first going to be established within the hearts of man. That's what he really wants, isn't it? It's not about the earthly rule. It's about, first of all, ruling within the hearts of the believer. He wants our heart. Now, that's the kingdom that was, the kingdom that is, and then, of course, there's the kingdom that is to come. Now, listen, there will be a physical kingdom here upon earth one day. Now, I can't tell you when that day is. If it is, you should run me out of the church immediately. Because the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, and Jesus himself said he did not know the day, that it was left upon to the Father to determine the day and the time in which God's kingdom would be established upon the earth. And we know that because in Revelation it talks about the millennial reign in which God will rule over the earth for 1,000 years. Of course, then the remainder of what happens then comes the judgment and then the new heaven, the new creation, new heaven, new earth. And so there is the kingdom that was, there is the kingdom that is, there is the kingdom that is to come. But currently, we are in what? The kingdom that is. And where does that kingdom exist? It exists within the hearts of believers. Look at verse 21 again. Or will they say, see here or see there? For indeed the kingdom is within you. He doesn't mix words there, does he? I'm not preaching some falsehood. Where does the kingdom exist? Jesus said, the kingdom exists within you. So what is that kingdom then? What exists within us that is that kingdom? Well, somebody told me a good definition of the kingdom is any place where God has authority, rulership, where God is in charge. That should define what the kingdom is. And that should define what the kingdom is in our life, that God should be in charge. He should rule in our life. He should rule in our hearts. And then we should experience then the blessings of that kingdom within us. Turn to Romans 14, 17. Go forwards. Romans 14, 17. I like this little definition of the kingdom. Romans 14, 17. Paul here defines for us the kingdom. Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God, it's not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is peace, it's righteousness, it's joy within the heart of the believer through the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful definition. That's the kingdom that should be living within us. Righteousness, peace, joy. Those are those attributes that define the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom that should be in our hearts today. That's the kingdom that we are seeking to build, the kingdom in man's heart. And how do we build that kingdom? Well, we go forth and we preach, don't we? We preach the kingdom of God. We declare the kingdom of God. And we pray. We even pray, thy kingdom come, don't we, on earth, even as it is in heaven. I want to give you, and just, I'm going to share with you four real, I guess, quick thoughts here on how we build the kingdom of God. How we build the kingdom of God. First of all, we seek the kingdom, is what the Bible says. To build the kingdom, we seek it. We seek the kingdom with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, part of growing the kingdom of God is first growing the kingdom within our hearts. And we're to be seeking the kingdom of God, that righteousness, that peace, that joy in our life each and every day. To be seeking it with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our spirit. And we're to be living that and seeking that each and every day. You know, I'm afraid in America that the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of peace, and the kingdom of joy is slipping away, isn't it? Seems like everywhere we look, we don't see peace, joy, or righteousness. We see sin, self-centeredness, selfishness. Seems hard to remember even now a time where these attributes ruled in our community or in our world. Our nation is slipping away from these things. God calls us to seek the kingdom of God, though. To be seeking these things, to be living out these things. And he calls us as a nation to seek first the kingdom of God. I really do believe that all the problems we're seeing in our world today is connected to that we're not seeking first the kingdom of God. Not as a people anymore. Not in America anymore, unfortunately. Church membership is declining. People are moving away from the faith. And rather than seeking first the kingdom of God, unfortunately, our world is seeking the things of sin. Just last night I heard, or maybe it was this morning, another shooting. This one in Texas, I think. Mall shooting. I think the count was 9 dead. Several more in critical condition. One child, 5 years old. God be with him today. help them through this. Our world's crumbling, isn't it? Every week we see and hear about another tragic thing. Violence, robberies, muggings. I think just over the weekend there was a shooting in Harrisonburg. A second one. There was just another one a few weeks before that. We didn't used to hear things like that around here, did we? Not a couple weeks apart. Our world is crumbling. Our world is falling into sin. The world's becoming a dangerous place, isn't it? I remember a few years ago, we took a group from here to go to Washington, D.C. Just a fun fellowship event. We went to go see a baseball game. Maybe some of you were on that trip. Maybe some of you remember I got you lost on the subway. And then we were at a place where we couldn't get back on because the train was so full we couldn't get ourselves in. But you know, I don't know if I would be willing to take a trip like that now with a group. Seems like the violence is so much more. It's very dangerous. I'd be scared to be responsible for a group going through the subways of Washington, D.C. That's just a few years ago. Look how fast things are changing. How quickly. We all see it, don't we? You just need eyes. Look at what's happening around us. Violence in the school systems. Talking about putting an armed guard at every school. And I'm not against that. Maybe that's exactly what we need. But as the violence rises, we have to take precautions, don't we? Have to protect. But what's the cause? What's the source of the sickness? Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to have a conversation about what really is the source of the cancer. What's causing the sickness? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." There's the cure. And what's the sickness then? The opposite of that. A world that's no longer seeking first the kingdom of God, the things of God, righteousness, joy, peace. We need to get back to kingdom building again, don't we? Listen, I fault some of this to the church. Yeah, boy, we have to point our finger right back here at us. It's easy to go pointing everywhere else, isn't it? It's so easy to point at everybody else and say, this is y'all's problem. This is what is hard. We don't like to point back at us. And I'm afraid there's a lot of fingers that should be pointed right at the church. The church has failed at kingdom building over the last decade. It's failed to build the kingdom of God. It's failed to train up the children in the way that they should go. It's failed to allow evils to enter in and infiltrate the school systems. We failed to stand up and declare the bold truth of God and hold people accountable to it. Instead, we just said, do as you will. Let us, the church, just hide behind our walls. Remain hidden. We don't want to be too loud. We don't want to disrupt. We don't want to offend. And so the church sat quiet while the world slipped away, when we should have been kingdom building, proclaiming the truth. And in fact, I think the church is in a state today that, depending on where you worship, it has trouble declaring what the truth is. They're afraid to preach the Word of God, again, because they're afraid it might offend someone. When have we as Christians become cowards? You know, the Bible says in Revelation, the first into the pit of fire is cowards. Read it up. First into the lake of fire is cowards. I think it's there for a reason. To warn us. We can't be cowards. We have to proclaim the truth of God, even if it offends someone. Listen, some people have offended me a lot. But you know what? A lot of times I needed to be offended. That's okay. Maybe I needed to hear it. I'm careful sometimes when people are critical of me. Not to resort back to just being angry. Maybe they're telling me something that I need to hear and I just don't want to hear it. We can't be cowards. We have to speak up the truth. Kingdom building starts with seeking the kingdom with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. And seeking that first. Okay, not only do we seek the kingdom, but we also to share the kingdom. Luke 8:1, Jesus says he went through the cities and the village proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. I like that, how it includes that, that 12 were with him. That reminds us that we are to be with Christ as well, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom to all people. We're supposed to be proclaiming and sharing the good truth of God. You know where the Bible says we lack in the church, and that is we lack workers. The Bible goes to say that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. That's what the Bible says. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Matthew 9:37-38. Jesus would go to say then, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send you laborers into the harvest. You know, church, maybe that's what we need to start doing. Praying for laborers. People that are willing to go and share the kingdom of God. Praying for laborers within the church that are willing to go out into the harvest and to reap those that are ready to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We lack workers. I think that's a common thing. I hear so many pastors tell me today, if I just had people that were willing to serve in different areas. A lot of times pastors feel a little exhausted. They become a catch-all. They're trying to do everything. I have a pastor friend, he's working himself to death. He's doing everything. He's making communion bread. He's cooking the meal for Love Feast. He's doing all the deacon positions. He's doing everything. He says, I'm burnt. I got nobody to help me, he says. Nobody that will step up. He's exhausted. You can see it in his face. He's physically and mentally exhausted. He says, I just have no one. No one to help me. We pray together, Lord, bring people to help. Bring those that are willing to work and be a part of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Workers are few. Now, we're to share the kingdom of God to all who will listen. We're to spread the kingdom of God. The Bible says to every tribe, tongue, and nation, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, Jesus said. To grow the kingdom to God, we have to be willing to take the kingdom of God to the world around us. The world starts right outside the front doors of our church. And so we begin there, don't we? We begin right outside the front doors and we continue on as far as the Lord will take us, evangelizing and preaching and spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. That's how we build the kingdom. We have to declare it. We have to share it. We have to spread the good news. Lastly, we support the kingdom work with our time, with our talents, and with our treasures. I want to read Matthew 25. I'll just end with this story. Go to Matthew 25. Remember the parable of the talents? It's good for us to hear these things again, isn't it? Parable of the talents, or the the talents. It says, for the kingdom of heaven, that's what we're talking about, aren't we? Kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Verse 22. And he also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my coin with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he who has abundance. But from him who does not have even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Of course, this kind of is a call to each one of us, isn't it? God's not happy when we don't invest our time, our talents, and our treasures in the things of the God. If we hold on to them for ourselves, we use them for our own selfish, or maybe we just are in fear. And hey, we come back to courage again, don't we? He was in fear. He dug a hole, stuck it in the hole. Didn't have the courage to go out and at least put it with the bankers. It's a warning, isn't it? The end results of this man for not being faithful with what he was blessed with, he was cast away. It was taken away from him, his talent, and he was cast into outer darkness. What do you think that's speaking of? We know, don't we? We're to be faithful with our time, with our talents, with our treasures. We're supposed to be bold and courageous and building the kingdom of God while there is time. There's time, isn't it? Things can be turned around. Our nation can be turned around. There's time. But we have to be about it now. We don't know how much time's left. But we're supposed to be busy doing God's work while we can. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this series. I just pray that these thoughts, Lord, these preaching points were received into our hearts of believing, of belonging, of becoming, and now building. Lord, these are 4 simple things that you desire from your believers. I pray they help give us guidance to what we should be doing in our Christian faith. Lord, I pray you put within us the courage, especially today in this world, where everyone is persecuted and even prosecuted for saying things or preaching things that might offend. Help us to be bold. Help us to proclaim the truth. Give us the courage we need to live out these concepts and to seek first your kingdom. Help us, I pray, as we do that. Lord, I pray as the church here at Moscow that we seek first, always, the kingdom of God. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's close now in our final hymn here. Page 297, I love to tell the story. Page 297. Let's stand together and sing. First and last. In prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go forth, Lord, I just pray again, we live out these principles. Lord, we're doing those things that you've called us to do as your believers, as your followers. Lord, help us to live out these principles in our Christian faith. And Lord, that we might be seeking first your kingdom always. Bless us this week, I pray, until we meet again. Go with us, I pray. Might your Spirit guide and direct us in all that we do and say. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.